Welcome to our podcast, Forgotten Victims, The Forensic Interview.
Forensic interviewing traditionally has been associated with child victims. Over the past decade, there's been an evolution in the field of forensic interviewing where it's being applied to vulnerable victims of all ages, forgotten victims, victims with disabilities, mental health disorders, and older adult populations.
Today, we are joined by Megan Young, and Megan is an advocate, and we are so excited to hear about the advocacy work that she has been doing in the state of Nebraska. So welcome, Megan. Thanks so much for being here with me.
Thank you. It's just been an amazing opportunity. Things just keep leading to one thing to another, and I really didn't expect to get more opportunities when I met you at Project Harmony, and I thank you for that.
Absolutely. Well, Megan and I were talking about some of the great work she was doing, and I thought immediately that you were perfect for this podcast, Megan. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experiences. So start by telling everybody a bit about what got you started in the advocacy work that you're doing in Nebraska.
So I've been involved with a place called Project Everlast, and it's for unconnected youth in Nebraska. It used to be just for foster kids who have aged out, but now it's for both and just people who don't have a lot of community and connection with people. And we had an opportunity to do something that they called Legislative Days, where we went up to Ashland, Nebraska, and stayed in these cabins for 3 days. The first 2 days was just teaching us the legislative process and how little snippets on how to publicly speak and how to draw out empathy from people instead of sympathy, make people, oh, I feel bad for you, you know, instead of getting them to reason on your level. And so we spent a lot of time just prepping our skills, our knowledge on how things worked. And we decided to Our group decided to work on a bill. I forget the numbers. It was LB 952, I believe. Don't quote me on it. But it was the summer EBT food program where $18 million was offered to help feed 150,000 kids in Nebraska. And I didn't want to speak. I wanted to be the one holding the little sign. You know, that's all I wanted to do was just hold the sign. And so, my presentation, I had a personal testimony from what I experienced as a kid, from seeing my mom go without her very little and being very aware of our situation during the summer. And so we prepped this speech together that we had to keep within 5 minutes, met with the senators, had a luncheon with them, and then met with a private meeting with the governor, Governor Jim Pillen. We were terrified. He was completely opposed from this. People were protesting outside of his house. His quotes were, I don't believe in welfare. Nebraska takes care of its own. Mm-hmm. And in that room, when he had said that to us kids, we were just well, I say kids because we're all younger, you know, in our 20s and stuff. We just looked at him so we stood up there, gave our presentation, and I told him Nebraska doesn't take care of its own. We are coming to you as foster kids, as kids who have been in the system. We weren't taken care of. There's many times people didn't notice. And so his speech afterwards, he just shot us down on everything. Our numbers that we got from Nebraska Appleseed, that's not a credible information source. Just shot us down on everything. And we were trying to put together on how we were going to go get personal testimonies on it then. And just because they do testimonies for bills in the legislature for in the state capitol, you can go and speak, or you can submit an online testimony. We were thinking about submitting the same thing we just said. We're like, okay, let's get in front of everybody. And then a week later, we get a call from the governor's office, and it's just he's approved it. 150,000 kids will have help, and you guys were the turning point after seeing the kids at Boys Town right before he came to you. Really put it in perspective of things get overlooked. Not everybody's taken care of. And so this month, anyone who is enrolled in free or reduced lunch at school will be automatically signed up to get a card in the mail so that they can supplement those and have training to know what to do with that little bit of money. So that was kind of my starting point. And I was like, wow, this is getting big. We had KETV News Watch 7 watch reach out. We had Lincoln Journal Star, and then it reached the New York Times. And I was like, okay, hold on. It's going big, and to read about how we affected other states, because we're a Republican state, and other states' like responses was, our kids are overweight enough, it's okay, you know, kind of thing. But we started changing other people's minds when they were like, oh, this senator can be completely against it at one point and then swing the other way. Maybe we can too. And so it's been interesting to see that effect. And I'm like, okay, if I can get this started, let's try. I've never gone to school. I've never done anything. I had a 3-day prep. All right, let's go in this.
That's pretty amazing. So what was that feeling like when you got the call from the office that it had gone through?
Honestly, I was shocked. I think sometimes because of being a foster kid, I tend to limit myself. And with my diagnosis of autism, I definitely hold myself at lower standards sometime. And I decided to push myself just to see what would happen. And it was okay if I failed because I was around people I felt comfortable with Project Everlast. And sometimes I hold myself back. And to finally get that news, it was like, okay. Start reframing my life a little bit on like, what do I want to actually do? If I do enjoy this, why hold myself back from doing it? You know, so that was, it wasn't just, oh, yay, we got this. It was, I'm more capable than what I put myself to be. And that was very rewarding to see.
So you enjoy it. And by the way, you're super good at it, right? So yeah, that those feelings combined is, I think, what creates the passion that helps us make the changes, just like you're talking about. So starting in Nebraska, and as you're saying, the ripple effects have already started taking place in other areas of the country for kids to get the things that they need. And I think that that's so important. So you mentioned that's what started everything. So how have things been going since that initial exciting thing that you all worked so hard on?
Since all of that, there was another conference we were hearing about, and I got invited just to go. We were trying to score tickets last minute. Everything was all sold out at Project Harmony. There was no way we weren't able to get in. And then like the next day, okay, we got tickets. Okay, we can go and attend this, and we can bring a couple of youth who just want to attend. We got enough tickets that we had gotten. And then the next day it was like, okay, no, you're speaking now. Someone dropped out, and we need you to speak twice on the first day in two different breakout sessions. You have a youth panel, right? And we're like, okay, who wants to come speak? And started asking a couple of us who had done legislative days. And so we went to Project Harmony. I never realized how big they were, because I was one of those kids who have been through Project Harmony and foster care and stuff. They have given me clothes. They stop there. Even if you haven't been in a situation, if you need clothes, they'll help you either way. They're amazing organization, and I never realized how big they actually went. And so we did, one of our breakout sessions was just educating on like what Project Harmony did for youth and how we helped them with housing, school, resources. And then they wanted to ask the youth panel on how foster care or how things have directly affected us. And because it was a room of people who work with kids and in the system, it's caseworkers, it's therapists. I had old caseworkers recognizing me. It was weird for a little bit. Just asking us how, like, what do you think would have helped a little bit? How different approaches? Who was someone that you remember? Did you have someone? You know, how has being in the system affected your homeschool or personal life? And I don't think a lot of these people have heard that feedback before. And some of us have colorful language. And so they were like, looking at us a little funny, like, okay. But they're just going with it. And so it was really interesting to see all these people. The first time I was nervous because I didn't think anyone would respond well. Normally they don't want to listen to me. I was a foster kid, you know? So it was different to be in a different position to actually give valuable feedback. And I had people come up and say, thank you. That's definitely like opened my eyes. Or another caseworker came up and said, wow, I never could have imagined I would see you up on a stage. What? You weren't one of the kiddos we would have, you know, would have guessed this type of thing from. And so that was just amazing to see that I could, I don't know. It starts, yes, you can start with helping the kids, but it also starts with education for a lot of these people. I remember I wish a lot of these people were properly educated. And I remember that something that comes from the book, someone can tell me, oh, I learned this in school, doesn't stick. But when I heard something like, I have been here, You know, this is my experience that I was able to resonate with a little bit more and was more open to. And so I think we did two breakout sessions. The first one was like 20 some people, and then word of mouth got around, and the next one got up to like 65.
Wow.
And I was a lot more nervous for that one. That's the most people I've ever spoken in front of.
That's incredible. That's good. And it was a great conference. There was, like you're describing, so many wonderful professionals there. And I love that people came up to you and continue to tell you, Megan, what a great impact you're making, and that advocacy, right? That ripple effect that's really, really taking place. Is there anything that you can remember that someone shared with you that was really impactful to them, that like changed their perspective on their work, that you could share with our listeners that might be helpful to them?
I think the biggest thing was I was one of those hard-headed kids, and they had come up to me and they're like, thank you, because we get a lot of hard kids. And I was one of those kids that you could not reason with, that nobody wanted to work with, that it was like, oh, let's not deal with her, let's just buy her Jimmy John's and leave her alone, you know, keep her happy. And I said that never really worked for me. It was, I'm not asking people, time is hard, and I know money's hard in this field, you know, and it's hard to spend 4 hours building up trust with a kid. It's very difficult, but it's how you approach it. And sometimes in that world, when you're being told, do this, do that, do this, do that, you come from a very sheltered place, and you will always question why you're doing something, for what reason. And it's very hard to be, you already have no control, you know, but it would be nice to know a little bit of what's going on and have things explained to me, like, hey, if you don't get your act together, you're being flown to Nevada. That we're out of places. You can't keep acting up thinking you're going to get home. You're going to go home. We don't run out of places for you, you know? And I think just, it's not always like, oh, I hear you, you know, but genuinely just, hey, what's going on? Just sit down for maybe 5 minutes. And if they don't want to talk, just sit there for the 5 minutes. Don't be like, okay, and leave. No, show them that you actually kind of do want to hear them. And maybe they'll open up in those 5 minutes and tell you, hey, this is what's bothering me. And then you can go from there.
So I hear you saying a couple of things, Megan, that I think are really important. So the first, and these are things we talk about in our trainings a lot, so I love that you're sharing your real life experience, and thank you for doing that. So the first is take the time.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't happen instantly. And especially for someone who maybe has been through the foster care system, or someone who doesn't have a whole lot of reason to trust anybody right now, why that time is so important. Take the time, I think is the first one. Yeah. And then you talk about feeling like you don't have control. So can we give people any sense of empowerment and letting them make decisions for themselves where it's appropriate, right? So you said that they just took you to Jimmy John's. I wonder if you had any choice about going to Jimmy John's, or if they let you, you know, maybe go somewhere else. She's saying no, just everyone knows, you can't see. She's shaking her head no. Just a little bit of choice sometimes goes a long way. That little bit of empowerment. So,
definitely.
So take the time, little bit of choice. And then the other thing you said, which I think is so important, is that being clear and predictable piece. So how can we let people know what to expect? And you're saying even like with the worst case scenario, right? Get my act together, or these are the consequences. But just, I just wonder, Megan, like if people had said to you, hey, Megan, this is what to expect tomorrow. Then we can't make promises. We can't predict the future. But if someone had said to you, hey, Megan, like, just so you know, it's going to go kind of like this, right? And, and those things that might've been helpful to you as well.
Yes, most definitely. Because a lot of the time it doesn't just apply to like foster care kids. It's kids who have been through abuse. Don't expect them to know your world. Even if they're developmentally disabled or not, they grow up very sheltered. Their worlds are completely different than yours. And I think the approach with any of it, you know, you're completely new human that they don't know. And most adults that they've looked at have always acted some way. And that's hard to adjust to and be open to a different kind of approach.
Totally agree. Yeah. And it's, you know, as you're talking and I'm thinking, and you said not, you know, this is true for any kids, but I would argue it's true for any human, like even as an adult, right? I want to know what to expect from the people around me. When people do unpredictable things, that's scary. That doesn't feel good. And I want to have some control over my life and be able to make some decisions for myself. Even if they seem simple to someone else, I want to decide what to eat for dinner or what restaurant to go to if I have that opportunity. So like the things that we're asking for shouldn't seem so, you know, so hard to accomplish, because they're things that all humans, regardless of age or ability or diagnoses, I think would want and have the right to have. So that's just to put that in a little more perspective. We're talking about kids with disabilities, kids in the foster care system, but all kids, and by the way, all humans would be.
Sometimes it's just, it's hard to slow down with your approach, I think, for a lot of professionals in the field. They're used to doing something some way. Either you were taught or you're going off of a script you were taught, you know. You're used to doing things. And I know it's hard, especially when supply and demand is so high. For these people, it puts a lot of stress on them.
It does. And we know professionals are out there doing the best they can with what they have. There's no doubt about that. But I think that some of the things we've talked about, Megan, is how can we make sure that professionals in whatever capacity have this background information on, especially working with kids with disabilities, but just having the freedom to take that time like we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's hard because you're right. They've got deadlines. They're working hard. There's lots of demand. So yeah, it's hard out there for sure.
It is. And I see both sides now that I've gotten older. It's interesting to see both sides and what they do offer for people. But I just think kids are difficult. Once someone sees someone who's different or difficult, they like your biases automatically label them as unapproachable or, you know, mm-hmm. And I even still get that, you know, with people, you know, it's automatic. It's what the human brain does to label if someone is safe. Mm-hmm. And that's why we don't like things that look different, you know, and that's really what it is. It's part of your human instinct to get gauge if something is safe. And when you're someone who's been through something, trauma, situations, foster care, you know, even as an adult, because there's situations where people need higher supports too. It's definitely the approach you take, you know, and you don't need hours. It doesn't need hours. It's just try different, be different. They're so used to something being done a certain, you know, and I don't know if that's making sense, like being done a certain way. They're used to their schedule and people dictating their lives. So most definitely.
Yeah, and I like what you said about it doesn't take hours. It really just takes genuine, actual presence, in my opinion. Yeah. So it's not about like, oh, I'm going to spend all... And for some people, it takes longer to earn that trust than others. But even if it's 5 minutes, if you feel like that person's genuinely connected to you or genuinely is out for your best interest, that process usually goes a whole lot quicker. So I think that it all comes down to that time, but quality time, right? Genuine time. Not necessarily the quantity, but the quality of it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I had another thought when you were talking. You said so many wonderful things, Megan, but I'm trying to remember the other thing that I was going to follow up with you on. So taking the time, super important. We know that. And I think that when you were talking more just about your, you know, your experience and your perspective, what a great perspective to have, right? As a kid and now an adult, you being able to see both sides. But something interesting when you mentioned biases and you were talking about how we have them and they're natural, which I know, you know, we talk about in our trainings too. So you heard me say that. So I know we're on the same page there. But it's funny because at the beginning of this conversation, you described yourself as a hard-headed kid.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, I mean, hard-headed often has a negative connotation, but you know, as we're hearing about all this great work you're doing, your hard-headedness has certainly served you well, right? As we move forward. So even if that was a label that you received as a kid, I mean, there's not necessarily anything wrong with a hard-headed kid. It's just a matter of figuring out what drives them. What are they passionate about? What's the reason that they're feeling hard-headed in this moment? And can we use, you know, that passion or that drive towards something positive for them. And I'm glad that you've been able to do that with your hard-headedness, which I think is a good quality, just for the record. For anyone who knows me or who's listened to this, they know that I also share that quality, Megan. So I don't think hard-headed. So what are you working on now? What's the next thing that's going on for Megan?
So pretty much now, I also got an opportunity randomly to speak at Heartland Juvenile Justice System. It was another conference, not as big as Project Harmony, but it was more just like caseworkers and people who work with Department of Health and Human Services. And so I got recognized by more people there. We got the whole room to cry. That was interesting. I did not expect that kind of reaction, because I definitely, parts did get emotional just sharing my personal. And then it was weird because we had, at one point, we had to call the people out on being on their phones. We're like, we understand, like, you've been at this all day. It's after lunch. You're tired, but you don't ever get to speak to like a youth panel. Just give us 10 minutes of your time. And then it got very personal on, not like bad personal, but like, what was our turning points on why we wanted to start doing what we were doing? And someone had asked, like, what are your next steps now? And I was like, that I've been thinking about that. And I think that now I still finishing up some schooling and some stuff and some training that I want to do to be a peer support to work with people in mental health. But I am looking at reaching out to different programs that work with foster care kids. Like, hey, can't we start a peer support program? Like, where we can work with kids and help advocate for them in their their daily lives. And if they need advocates for working in like Project Everlast or something. And I'm trying to get connected more that way, since I will be aging out of that program when I turn 26 in July. I'll be done with all of that, but I want to see, how can I still get connected to youth? Because I really, yes, I like working with adults and stuff. Yes, they're still valuable, but it starts with the kids. You know, let's get them into their adulthood. Let's start them off right. And so I've been looking at doing more peer support and advocating opportunities through like Omaha Home for Boys and Project Everlast. And then one of my friends was suggesting that, I don't know if you've heard of Boys Town. It's like a huge campus here that's for kids who are struggling. It was founded years and years ago by, I don't remember who, originally was for boys who were just struggling. And it's group homes and placements and treatment facilities all on one huge campus. They have like their own mailing system, zip code, everything. But I've been wanting to see about going and speaking at a graduation, look at different graduation opportunities for these kids who are struggling, and just be like, look, this is where I've spoken. I've spoken at Project Harmony. I've done this with getting bills passed. I've spoke at Heartland Family Services. I've done all these different areas, and I'm not trained, but can I come and come, you know, would you like an advocate, a speaker at the graduation or something? And so I'm really thinking about pursuing those options, because everybody's telling me like, you should. And I'm like, okay, let's try, but I don't have any degrees. Okay, let's still try. And so I'm looking in different areas for like more public speaking classes, so I don't say as much, so that I can transition better, so I can work on, you know, I can be taught. My social cues are terrible sometimes, but I can be taught on how to do it. And so I think that's what I'm looking into for next. I really like the personal hands-on with children, and because I don't have any degrees, I'm kind of going at my own pace and starting where I start, not trying to give too much stress on myself, because yeah, my start wasn't very good. But this is how I'm starting, and I want to see where it eventually, this is how I'll start, but where will it lead me afterwards?
Great. Well, I love that you've got that open mind and you're like, hey, let's try. Why not? Because as you've seen already, just because I think when we first were talking about this, the stuff with the legislative day, that was just a few months ago, wasn't it? It was pretty recently. Yeah. So it's
February.
Yeah, February. And so you've had some really great opportunities already in just a short span of a few months. And it seems like one thing sort of is leading you to the next, which I think is wonderful. And I love that you're just like, yeah, what the heck? You know, let's try it. Let's see what happens. So I think it's really awesome, the work that you're doing. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate you coming and chatting with us. Is there anything else? You know, we have listeners from all over the world. Is there anything else that you from your perspective and your experience that you would want them to know before we close out our time together today?
I think because you work with a broad, all kinds of people, workers, clients, adults, and children. I think for the adults is, and even for like the young people, always speak up. If you want more training, there's opportunities out there, you know, it just, resources are hard to get a hold of and no knowledge about. So I think as long as you advocate for yourself and advocate for whoever you're working with and genuinely advocate for them, the opportunities that you get for yourselves or the people that you are working with will be very substantial for where you want to go.
Awesome. Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly, right? Let's keep advocating for ourselves and for each other and creating a space where professionals have the information that they need, mm-hmm. and it helps ultimately kids and adults and just humans. Let's just be better humans to each other. Most it seems definitely. like we need that. And Megan, you also had shared something about, you know, wanting more professionals to have the information about serving folks with diagnoses mm-hmm. or disabilities. Talk to us more about what you'd want them to know.
I think from doing different advocacy things and learning like the legislative process and then learning about some of the bills that were up there, I think it's very difficult to get that as a mandatory training. People already get mandatory training to be mandated reporters if somebody says, I feel like hurting myself or I feel like hurting somebody else. There's thousands of options and training on how to approach that situation, how to get them help, what numbers they can call. But when someone is, you know, having an autistic meltdown, they automatically assume, oh, they want to hurt themselves and everybody else. Let's approach it this way. And then they're surprised it doesn't work. But I think it would be interesting to see along the lines different places implement just a short little training on that as well. And it doesn't have to be hours long, 2 hours long, but just little snippets on like how to approach them different, because it is different on how you approach someone who is at danger of themselves and somebody else. It's a completely different situation on how you approach it that can be mistaken for. And I think slowly as awareness grows, like through your presentations, and maybe people in that room can go, like, I've gone back to other people like that I've known, hey, can't you guys implement something like this here? You know, maybe they can go back. And I think as word of mouth spreads about, because it's not something that's in the closet as much with different disabilities, it's not something that's hidden. People are out there, they're doing things, you know, it doesn't have to be hidden in this world. And I'm thankful for that. But I think just with training, a little bit of training, or even if you don't get the training, be open to educating yourself and open to a different way of thinking, because a lot of the things of thinking of how you think would help sometimes don't, you know. And I think there's a lot of different free articles and different forums you can look up and read. And if you are interested in educating yourself, pursue that.
Great. Yeah, I think you made so many great points. And you're right, there's a lot of mandatory trainings for professionals. And it's, you know, there's only so much time. And sometimes it's hard for people to prioritize. But in thinking about the things that we, you know, that we focus our time and attention on, and what those priorities look like, and the people we encounter and how much they depend on us, I think those are all really, really good points. So, and yeah, maybe it's not a training, maybe it's, you know, there's a, like you said, a lot of good free stuff on the internet, as long as it's from reliable sources, can really help people with just learning better how to communicate with folks with autism or other disabilities or diagnoses. Mm-hmm. So yeah, take the time. We can all learn something all the time about how we can be there and be supportive of the fellow humans that we interact with. So I think that's a great point, Megan. Yeah, all right. Well, you're awesome. Thank you for spending this time with me. We so appreciate you and your work. And anyone who wants to learn more about the great work that's going on in Nebraska, feel free to look up any of the stuff we talked about with Megan. And thanks again, Megan, for your time.
Thanks for listening. For more information about the work being done by Modell Consulting Group, visit our website, modellconsultinggroup.com, or follow us on social media.